Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the SWAT radio program here on Friday, April the 12th. I'm David Gray, along with Brad Sykes. And we are glad that you're with us as we come to you from Jacksonville, Florida. And Brad and I, Brad, we were just saying before we came on the air, you and I have not been together for about a month.
I was going to say, what's up? Man, I have missed you. And
it's good to be back.
In fact, I wanted to get here a little early because I was wondering if you knew we had changed studios.
Well, fortunately, AJ caught me, and I was sitting in the old studio, but it is right across the hall. But this is nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice little pad. Jeremy's like taking care of us. And the only thing we've been trying to get Jeremy to do is we've got this TV in here. And as anybody knows me or David, you know we love golf. And we were kind of hoping we might get some Masters coverage on that TV while we're doing the broadcast. You know, they say, David, I don't know if this is true, that it is impossible to multitask. Now, I don't know. I think there's ways you can multitask. I don't know that you can do anything well. So I guess we'll just go forward with being focused on what we're here
to do. I'm sorry. What'd you say? I was checking the Masters.
Exactly. How you been, man?
I've been good.
Good.
Busy. Good. Busy. I know you and I, we were just saying we were together a month ago, and then you were away, and then we had Easter, and then I was away visiting some family last week. And so it's just been kind of a hectic few weeks, but always good to be back. And man, the time is just flying. We were saying at SWAT on Thursday that we're already talking about our last meeting of the semester before the summer break, and then when the summer training day will be. I mean, it just flies by, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it really flies by when you're busy. Mm. I've got a we're here at SWAT going through Mark and the Gospel of Mark. Doug and I are doing a study on the West Side in First Kings. I'm doing a study on Friday mornings in Acts. And, you know, my mind, and I love, I mean, you know, just like you and Doug and many of our SWAT brothers and those listening love the Word of God. I love to dig in. I literally finished teaching this morning, had about an hour to get home and before I had to go do some work. I'm in the Word. I'm so loved to do this, but it can be exhausting, and it's weird to think we'll actually take a little bit of a break during the summer.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this, and maybe there are people that are listening that struggle with this. This is confession hour here with Dave and Brad. But sometimes what I have to be careful of, and I'm sure you are aware of this as well, is that I get busy and I get doing all things that in and by themselves, I think, are good things, right? And are beneficial and are, you know, service-oriented and all of that. But combined, they get me really kind of crazy and busy, and my schedule gets packed. And I'm still trying to work full-time, and you are too.
Me too.
And then, and you wind up realizing that there's less joy in it sometimes and kind of more a sense of, I just got to get through this.
And
I don't want to be like that.
I'm with you.
And I catch myself doing that. So it's just something, all kidding aside, that I do confess about myself that I have to watch out for that. And I think, and the Bible is very clear about rest and about the need for it. And, you know, I have a hard time saying no. And part of that is because I don't want to let people down. And then, you know, maybe a little part of that is sometimes I am more interested in the approval and what people think about me than what God thinks.
Oh,
and
so I've said this many times. I am a recovering people pleaser. Yeah. And, yeah. I admit that oftentimes. And I mean, I think, David, you're exactly right. And it doesn't really matter what you do, whatever your career is, you know, even something you can love doing, like playing golf, teaching the word, studying the word, discipling, is really getting your mind right before you go in. We yesterday had our Christian Chamber luncheon. And we had a guy named Sebastian Traeger who wrote Gospel at Work, the book Gospel at Work, with Greg Gilbert, who's been a guest of ours here on SWAT Radio. Anyway, Sebastian really brought out in his message the who do we work for, why do we work, and what are we working for? And, of course, Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as unto the Lord rather than men, knowing that it's from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is true for you, but sometimes before I go do something that I'm kind of like, oh gosh, I'm not sure, you know, it's just to get my mind right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's funny. I had to do a devotional in front of a group of people last week, and it was a ministry that we've talked about before that Craig and I are both involved with.
Yes.
And so I'm on an upcoming team for this particular ministry, and I'm in a different role. And the guy who's the head spiritual director of this particular team asked me to do the devotional. And he said, hey, take the path of least resistance. He's like, talk about something that you know. Or so, of course, I completely plagiarized Doug. No, well, I took his teaching on and used it, changed it around.
It's a commentary.
And Doug and I have talked about this, but, you know, changed it around a little to fit the audience, but talked about the parable of the sower from Mark 4 and about how Doug brought out in that it's really about the condition of the human heart.
Yeah.
And I remember this from being in Israel when we stood in the fields and he taught on this and he pointed out that the people listening would have known that parable was referencing back to Jeremiah, where it talks about plow up the fallow ground of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And also where it says, is not my word the fire and the hammer, the fire that burns off the thorns and the weeds and the hammer that breaks up the rocks.
Yeah.
And I talked about what we're talking about now, how when you're serving, and especially when you're leading up like we are in this other circumstance to this upcoming weekend, and it's like 8 weeks of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood up there and I started it off by saying, and I was acting real serious, and I said, you know, when I'm preparing for something like this, I said, at some point, inevitably, every time that I'm involved with this, I said, at some point, inevitably, I find myself asking the high-minded and godly question, why did I say yes to this? You know?
Exactly.
And I think everybody can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And then I went on to talk about that the solution to our hard-heartedness, to our resentfulness, to our, you know, self-pity, right, is plowing up the fallow ground of our heart with the word of God. And that's what you were just saying about getting our mind and our heart right before we go to do something. And man, that's important, because I don't want to do these things and do them with a spirit of, let me just get through this.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to, I mean, I love that illustration of the fire that burns the field and the hammer that breaks the rocks that need to be broken. And, you know, we all have the thorns and the weeds in our garden. We all have the rocks in our garden, and they need to be broken up if we're going to bear the fruit that God desires in us. We've got to till the soil of our own hearts.
Yep.
And some of that, and that really in reality begins with confession.
Yeah, absolutely.
God, my heart is hard right now.
Yeah. And I think we'll get into some of that today as we look at this passage the posture and the attitude of both Jairus and the woman who touched Jesus. And I think they're both of them display a lot of what you're talking about, you know?
Well, what a beautiful text. Again, you talking about doing this devotion and looking at some of Doug's notes that we have access to. I mentioned on Friday mornings, I'm doing a study through the book of Acts. Well, we just did 3 years in Acts here at SWAT. Yeah. I think I did Acts on the West Side 4 years ago. I got plenty of notes on Acts. I've taught many lessons through that. But you know what I found? I've just committed that I'm going to get into it myself. And I know you're the same way. God, show me something. You know, it's not about showing me something new. Show me what I need to see from me.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, it's like the illustration of, you know, you get on a plane, you've traveled enough, you know, but the pre-flight, you know, checklist is, hey, if you have a child with you, you take the oxygen first. Mm-hmm. Well, the reality is we got to take the truth first. If we're going to, whether you're getting behind a mic or you're getting behind a pulpit or you're sitting at the dining table sharing with others, that word has got to get in you and through you. It's got to transform you.
Yeah.
I always love that verse, John 17, I think it's 17, 17, I can't remember, where Jesus says, your word is truth. Sanctify them in your word. Mm. In other words, if we're going to be sanctified, it's not just going to come because we hang out together. It's going to come as a result of the word getting in us doing its business.
And I like what you said about whether you're sitting behind a mic or going behind a pulpit or talking to people around the table. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to mention that we're talking about maybe getting ready for specific things, like whether it's the radio program or whether it's, you know, a devotional or whatever. But mostly it's about just being ready for the day.
Yeah.
And the opportunities that come along in a day. Because if I'm not getting my heart broken up by God's word, and again, I love those images, like you said, the hammer and the fire, and that God uses those images about his word. Yeah. Yeah. But if I'm not doing that, am I gonna be the person and the other parable in that Mark 4, there's a few of them, but the one about being the light and not putting our light, am I going to be the lamp? We're the lamp. Jesus is the light, right? We're reflecting his light. Am I going to do that if I'm not having my heart prepared?
Yeah. And to piggyback up on that, you know, is when you think about even the text we're going to look at today, especially when you look at, you know, this, you've got two miracles that happen. There's actually one miracle sandwiched inside of another miracle. Jairus coming to Jesus, my daughter is dying. Jesus gets up, starts moving toward Jairus's home. And right there in the middle, as we'll see, the woman who has been bleeding for 12 years.
Yeah.
And how, man, I want to have the eyes that Jesus has. I want to have the ears that Jesus has. I want to have the heart that Christ has to be able to not be so into the schedule and into my routine and into my calendar. And boy, don't get in my way because I'm not, you know, soft. I'm not tender. I'm not, my heart isn't tilled to be shaped for opportunities that we might have.
Right.
I was thinking of that song, and I know we're going to take a break here in just a second, called Give Me Your Eyes.
Yeah.
When we come back from the break, I'll read it.
You're going to sing it as the lead-in song?
I will not be reading that, but I do want to share it just because it's sometimes words, sometimes lyrics.
Sure.
In fact, I was just listening to Dr. Moeller in the briefing from this morning. And he talked about, he kind of has these call-in or these write-in questions. And one lady wrote in saying, you know, from time to time as a Christian, I have thoughts that I know I shouldn't have. And his answer was two things, either sing old hymns or memorize or read the scriptures. Anyway, I was thinking about this song.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about that when we come back. Glad you're with us. If you want to give us a call, we're at 844-777-7928 as we wrap up the week here on SWAT Radio, and we'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
Joshua 1:9 states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Highway to Eternity Ministries is dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope. The ministry seeks to serve those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share the encouraging testimonies of lives that have been transformed through God's power and grace. Highway to Eternity Ministry serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175 or visit www.highwaytoeternity.com. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a proud sponsor of SWAT Radio.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Mandarin at 91.7.
I push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. Pounding on a locked door, I try to make it out alone without your help. But I know I never win this war. I can never be free without. Never be me without you.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Brad Sykes, glad that you are with us as we wrap up the week here on SWAT Radio. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. Now, have you guys been stopping at 34 or going to the end of the chapter 5? I'm a little confused about the breakdown.
Through 43.
Yeah, okay, actually. Through the end of the chapter.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's
okay. Correct. Anyway, I know you wanted to share the words from the song we were talking about before the break.
So oftentimes, I even said this in the first segment, I tend to get very rigid in what I want to accomplish. I've been very grateful. I've even told Doug this over the years, that I'm not in his seat, that I'm in my seat, and that what that role is requires some flexibility. I often struggle with flexibility, and I think certain personalities like things a certain way, and it's been good for me to be flexible. So I didn't think about this song until you mentioned something earlier. We were talking about the fire that burns the thorns and the thistles of the field, and really for what purpose is so that when the seed of the word gets sown onto that field, our hearts, is that my heart is receptive and it's soft and it's pliable, and that seed gets in there and it germinates, it takes root and it bears fruit. And part of that fruit to me is being able to be aware of what's going on. And we're going to look at that even in the text today. But what song came to my mind, and it's called Give Me Your Eyes. Many of our listeners, you may be familiar with it, but I'm just read the chorus of the song. It says, "Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the one forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see." And that's really, almost a prayer that I ought to be praying as, you know, as we go into the world today?
It's so easy. I think there's so much, as Archie Bunker used to say, crapola, that we're bombarded with every day these days, right?
Yeah.
The news is so bad and depressing, mm-hmm. and it's real easy to get desensitized to all the issues in the world and to individuals and to miss what you're, you know, that's why those lyrics are so good, because we need to be reminded of that. And I think about going to India for work. Now you've been, mm-hmm. right, with, mm-hmm. you've been with Doug, uh-huh. and so for a different purpose, but I've been there for work a couple times, and this was 2006. And I remember landing, and we landed in Mumbai, and it was daytime and flying in low enough, and those are where, right around the Mumbai airport are where all the slums are that are depicted in, mm-hmm. Slumdog Millionaire, if you remember that movie. Some of the worst slums in India. And I remember being able to see them from the plane and just being absolutely stunned.
Yeah.
And then coming out of the airport, there were people everywhere just trying to walk with the driver that we had to the car, where people were trying to just touch our bags so that if they touched our bags, they could claim that they helped and we might tip them. And then getting in the car and just driving from the airport, out of the airport to the hotel, and again, being near these slums and seeing the people by the sides of the road and people living by the side of the road and kids in ditches with no clothes on and just being absolutely stunned at what I was seeing. But within a few days, mm-hmm. of being there, I wasn't nearly as stunned. I was desensitized just within a couple of days.
Yeah.
I got used to it. Now, part of you has to, because if you're there for a reason, like whether it's work or you're doing something, if you let it all get to you every single time you went out, you'd be paralyzed almost. So there's some sense of where it's almost a defense mechanism. I get that. But more than that, it was just that my human nature, my hard heart sometimes is just to let it kind of go by and not notice. And so that was just the picture that came to my mind when you talked about that song. And, you know, I just remember realizing that I was so quickly desensitized and actually, you know, feeling ashamed about that mm-hmm. I was desensitized about it that quickly.
Well, we so often, David, don't put ourselves in other people's shoes.
Mm.
We know that saying, we know that terminology, but what would it look like if we did, as we look outside of ourselves? I mean, we are such, sorry if this offends some people, we are such a narcissistic culture.
Mm-hmm.
We are such a narcissistic society that it's all about me. Mm-hmm. It's serve me. It's, you know, I can't help but think of verses like Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Or Colossians 3. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above where mm-hmm. Christ is seated at the right hand of God, of the Father. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth, for you've died, it says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What if we, as the body of Christ, took our eyes off ourselves and put it on other people? And really, you know, when you think about those verses that speak about bearing the burdens of one another, it's a sobering thought to realize whether it's India or there are places right here in our own city. You don't
Absolutely.
Have to go very far
Absolutely.
To see the slums.
Absolutely.
And think, but for the grace of God, that could be us.
Yep.
You know, and granted, that's an earthly perspective. But if we're to bring heaven on earth, that's mm-hmm. we've got to have a heart for people that aren't just like us.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was still in the group this morning over there, and I'm sitting there looking at, you know, 20 people that love Christ. They love to open the word together. They love to pray. We love to sing songs. And I told them, look, I love hanging out with you guys. This tight little holy huddle is one of my favorite spots, and it should be. We should enjoy the fellowship. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that as we, whether we're, you know, speaking the word of God here on the radio, or we're you know, like we talked about at the dining table or wherever it is, that this isn't just something that gets into our head and into our minds. It goes out into our hands and our feet, and we start going on mission. And so, anyway, obviously, well, looking at this text this week, that's what you see in Christ.
Yeah. Yep.
You want to read this text?
Yeah, why don't we read it?
And,
And I think we have time to do that before the break, and then we'll get into our kind of, we haven't done it for a while. But
it has
get
been back a while. Do you remember how we do it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Well, let me read this. It's Mark chapter 5, verses 21, I guess right to the end of the chapter, verse 43.
Up to 43. That's correct.
Okay. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. These are the very words of God. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. We're going to take a break here in just a second. But as always, when David and I get here on Fridays, it's what we're really trying to do and what we're even doing, just as we're, this isn't some prop we're doing. We do this because we want you, the listener, to hear two guys getting together with the Word of God opened and we're working through it. And so the idea is, you know, if we're told, Jesus commanded us. In fact, it's one of the five pillars of the SWAT community is that we're gonna make disciples. You know, and you talk to a lot of people in the church, you know, who are you discipling? Ask that question, who are you discipling? And I'm talking about with intention. Who are you discipling intentionally? And are you being discipled? And so the idea behind you and I doing this on Fridays is just that we would open the Word together. And we would allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and that we would be iron sharpening iron as to, you can do this.
Yep.
You know, David and I are not seminary grads here. We're just two men who love God's word and love him and desire to look like him.
Yep. And it's a model, hopefully, for when we're studying alone, just to ask these kind of questions and think about them as we read. So we're going to take our break here at the bottom of the hour for the news. We'll be back after the news. Give us a call at 844-777-7928. And we're glad you're with us on SWAT Radio.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The U.S. House passing a bill to reauthorize and provide sweeping reforms of a key U.S. government surveillance tool, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, without including broad restrictions on how the FBI uses this crucial program to search for Americans' data. One provision ending warrantless surveillance of Americans was also offered on the floor, but failed to garner enough support. The United States views Iran's threat of attack by Israel as credible, White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
National Security spokesman John Kirby isn't discussing intelligence details or timelines, but says,
"We do believe that this still is a viable threat."
Kirby says the U.S. is communicating with Israel about making sure they can defend themselves against an Iranian attack. Israel's military said it's ready if Iran retaliates for a deadly airstrike on the Iranian consulate in Syria. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at SRNNews.com, on Monday, a Manhattan court has to begin finding jurors to hear Donald Trump's hush money case. Rita Foley has more on the story.
How to choose jurors? Well, one analyst says the judge and the lawyers have to find people who will look at the law and the evidence and make a decision. Sounds simple, but in prominent cases, courts and attorneys watch out for stealth jurors, people who want to be on the jury because they want to steer the verdict or profit from the experience. Conversely, some people might not want to be on the jury because they don't want the attention. Judge Juan Merchan says this isn't about whether you like Donald Trump or you don't like him. It's about whether you can decide the case based on the law and the evidence. I'm Rita Foley.
And it looks like a tough day on Wall Street. All three major indexes are down more than 1%. This is SRN News.
This is Raising Godly Girls Minute with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
A growing trend of parents doing away with the practice of sleepovers for their kids stems from a desire to remove bullying and sexual abuse dangers. This has sparked controversy online as public debate surrounds the balance of safety versus personal responsibility in the adolescent years. Parenting is not for the faint of heart. Discuss and make a plan for how your family will handle sleepovers with your girl. Whether it's giving her a code word for a no-questions-asked pickup from a parent or nixing sleepovers altogether, through prayer, trust that your plan is for your girl's deepest good. Proverbs 14, verse 26 gives the godly parent confidence that the Lord honors their efforts to protect their children. He will be our refuge in times of uncertainty.
We are all called to raise up the next generation of Christian leaders. Learn more about empowering girls through the love of God at raisinggodlygirls.com.
Expect some delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on I-95 northbound at Lem Turner Road. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on Butler Boulevard eastbound at the ramp to Gate Parkway blocking the off-ramp right lane. And there's a disabled vehicle on I-95 northbound at Edgewood Avenue. Clear tonight, low 53. Saturday, sunny, high 78. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Brad Sykes, glad that you are with us as we look at Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Hopefully a familiar passage to many of you where it talks about Jesus with Jairus, I guess Jairus is kind of an administrator. It might be a good way to put it in the synagogue, right?
Yeah, scripture verse 22 says he's a ruler of the synagogue. Mm-hmm. We were kind of talking about this earlier in the week. You know, what does that mean? It's always kind of fun to dig in. I know you like that. What does he do?
I mean, yeah.
He's not a teacher.
I think he was more like a lay leader.
Probably
in the synagogue. An administrator. Filing, if you will,
exactly.
Or keeping track of the scrolls and putting them away and taking them out and things like that.
Well, in this particular passage that we work through, and it's a lot to cover there. Mark chapter 5, 21 through 43, is you see that Jesus brings hope to desperate people shepherded by self-righteous, by the self-righteous people. And then you see that Jesus brings hope to despairing people who've been swindled and shunned. And you know, we would spend a lot of time this week just talking about how, you know, the importance of the pastor, the importance of the shepherd. And I love that terminology, the shepherd. You having been to Israel, and understanding what is the role of a shepherd.
Right.
And, you know, we have adopted in the West, at least, what some would call a CEO model of leading a church. These are God's people. And what does that look like? You know, you're not just a preacher, you're a shepherd. And, you know, that's as when you think of a shepherd, we don't know what a shepherd is here in America, at least. We don't really have shepherds here. But over there, they knew what a shepherd was.
Yeah.
And it was not a glamorous role.
Nope.
It was not a highfalutin, high paying, prominent, powerful position.
They couldn't, shepherds couldn't even be counted as witnesses in a trial type situation. They were viewed so of such low status that their testimony in a trial, they couldn't be used as witnesses. And yet those were the first people that God announced Jesus' birth to. And Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. And to your point, though, not only was it not a glamorous job, but on the other hand, the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd, and would not follow others. They would follow the one they of whom they recognized his voice. And of course, what a great analogy that is for Jesus when he says, "You know, I'm the good shepherd.
Yeah.
My sheep know my voice, and they follow me."
Yeah, and he lays down his life for the sheep.
Right.
And you know, I think of that verse, and I think, you know, Jairus, who is clearly involved in the synagogue. I mean, this guy is doing ministry.
Right.
And yet when his daughter becomes ill, where does he go?
Yeah.
And when the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years realizes Jesus is in the area, where does she go?
Yeah.
And, you know, as you and I do when we work our way through the scripture, we're asking three questions. Number one, what does this text say about God? Number two, what does it say about man? Are you in that? You know, Doug often says, you know, as you read the text, put yourself in there. Who are you in this particular passage?
Yep.
And then ultimately is, how does this reality, how does this change your life?
Yeah. And we also look at, you forgot one. The first one is what stands out.
Well, what stands out?
Yeah, what stands out? And I didn't mean to imply that you forgot one. That was a little harsh.
Harsh? How do you spell that?
But
is that,
But what I noticed right away and what stood out to me, and then this brings us into what does it teach us about God and about ourselves, is the similarity between both Jairus and the woman, right? They both displayed incredible humility. They both displayed incredible faith. Jairus put himself at risk with the religious leaders who were opposing Jesus. The woman put herself at risk as a woman touching a rabbi, touching a man.
And being unclean, too.
That's right.
As an unclean person.
Exactly.
She's
right.
Been alienated.
Yep. And then she you know, when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" she responds in fear and trembling, but with the truth, with honesty. And what happens in both situations? Jesus responds.
Yeah.
And what verses do those bring to mind? All the verses about God opposing the proud and giving grace to the humble, right?
Yeah.
Both, you know, there's lots of verses, there's verses in Psalms and in Proverbs about God lifting up the lowly and opposing the proud. And certainly the familiar verses in James, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And there's a similar verse in 1 Peter. And I got thinking about that. First, the negative. God opposes the proud. He doesn't just ignore the proud. Opposes has a sense of there's an active role. God is actively engaged in opposing people who are proud. Do you want the God of the universe actively opposing you? Mm. And yet, the scriptures promise us that when someone is genuinely broken and humble, and what does God say? You know, the sacrifices of God are a contrite heart and a broken spirit, or a contrite spirit and a broken heart.
Right.
God can't resist. I think John Eldridge uses that language in one of his books. God cannot resist. He will not resist. He cannot resist the brokenhearted. It's why Jesus came.
You brought up those verses, and those just resonate with me. I was thinking of Matthew 11:28, where he says, "Come to me." Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, when you think about Jairus, we've got kids, we've got grandkids, you and I. And as my pastor likes to say, there's no pain like child pain. Mm. There's no pain like kid pain.
Well, and you've been through that big time with your grandson, especially.
You know, those things in life, illnesses, financial hardships, relational hardships, they draw you down. They become wearisome. And you think about Jairus, you think about this woman, and we see a lot of, you brought up some parallels of humility, this idea of they both fell down before him. They knew they were desperate.
Right.
They knew they were in despair.
Yeah.
And that's where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Isaiah 28, verse 12 says, "To whom he has said, this is the place of rest. Let the weary rest."
Mm.
He says, "This is the place of repose," but they would not listen. Jesus is saying, "Hey, come to me." And here you got two people, one who's desperate, one who's in despair. Both have been shunned, and as Doug said, one is been isolated, one is respected. It doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter how much money you have, your position, your clout, your wisdom, your wealth, you name it. Hardship's going to fall on everybody.
Yep.
And who are you going to run to?
Yeah. I'm glad that you use the word desperate, because I had that as another commonality between the two. They were both mm-hmm. desperate.
Yeah.
And desperation either drives us to God, or for some people, it drives them away from God.
Yeah.
And I'm getting ahead of myself now, but when we get to the part about our question about how should we, the so what question, how should we be different because we've been in this text? I had a note about part of our sanctification, I think, and part of our growth and maturity as believers is coming to a point where we feel and understand that desperation for Jesus, even when things, and I'm doing air quotes on the radio again, even when things are good
mm-hmm.
in our life, mm-hmm. right? Right? It's understanding that no matter what's going on, like Paul, when Paul writes about he's been in plenty and he's been in want, and mm-hmm. understanding that no matter what our earthly circumstances, we are desperate for Jesus. We are in desperate need of him. First and foremost, we're in desperate need of him to regenerate our hearts and save us mm-hmm. from our sins.
Mm-hmm.
But once that's happened and we belong to him, we're still in desperate need of him day to day to sustain us, to, mm-hmm. to as we talked about earlier, to plow up our hearts with his word, to, you name it. Every breath we have, yeah. we're desperate for him. And it's easy to forget that.
Yeah, we have said before, this is not my phrase, but we are saved by grace and we are sanctified by grace.
Right.
We'd never stop needing grace. We never stop needing Christ, the gospel.
Yep.
And great point.
Yep.
So we'll take a break and come back.
Yeah. Going to come back for our last segment here after our final break of the afternoon. Give us a call. Last day of the week is always a good time to call, 844-777-7928. Or you can send an email to ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Arlington at 91.7.
Ramblers in the wilderness, we can't find what we need. We get a little restless from the search and get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man left with his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside them, shining like a lighthouse from the sea.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Brad Sykes. Glad you're with us as we finish off the week here on SWAT Radio. We're looking at Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. And as we normally do on Fridays, although we haven't been here for a few weeks together, we're looking at some different questions that hopefully anyone can use, anyone listening can use in their own study or as you're discipling someone else. You know, what stands out about the text? What does it teach us about God and about ourselves? Sorry, I keep banging my glasses into the microphone here. I'm not used to this new mic. Of course, how should we be different as a result of having been in the text? And we've been talking about the last segment, what stood out, and about how both Jairus and the woman here displayed a lot of the same characteristics of humility, faith, putting themselves at risk, desperation, trusting Jesus, and that Jesus responds to both of them, responds to that humility, as the scriptures say God does. But, you know, Brad, what do you think about these questions of what is the? We've talked a little bit about this and touched on it, but what does the passage teach us about God, and what does it teach us about ourselves?
God is sovereign. God is sovereign. That you know, when you. You know, I believe God, well, I know, because scripture tells us he has numbered our days. And, you know, when you look at Jairus, and my attention goes to Jairus mostly, you know, if there are women who are listening, they may relate to the woman in this particular passage. But I go to Jairus. We've all experienced struggles with children, whether it's illnesses. Had a couple of grandkids just this week who have been under the weather for a couple of weeks. And one in particular, some of our listeners know Graham, who's had severe heart problems and he's ran fever. You know, what happens is what happens to my mind.
Mm.
And I don't know if you're this way. I'm sure a lot of us are this way, that when we get the first scent of something not being right, we go to the farthest extreme of what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not Jairus. I mean, you would think it's Jairus who says, my daughter's dying, but she really was dying. Mm-hmm. Because we believe, even though the text says, Jesus says she hasn't died, she has fallen asleep. And of course, they laughed at him. You know, I wonder if we would laugh if, you know, we knew some of the things that God would do in our life. I look back over my life and I think of literally the miracles God has done in my own mm-hmm. life, that had somebody told me he was going to do that, I would have laughed.
And you think about the other places in scripture where it's recorded that Abraham and Sarah.
That's right.
You know, you're going to have a baby. And she laughed, yeah, or he laughed. That's right. And then, you know.
And then names him laughter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
As I laugh.
And Elizabeth and who was John the Baptist's father's name? Zechariah.
Zechariah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he laughed, right?
Yeah.
And he couldn't speak.
Right, yeah.
Until he was born, you know. But nothing's, you know, all things are possible with God. What is right. What is it to God to raise someone from the
well,
dead?
Well, that's kind of what sunk in with me when I think about, what does this say about God? Mm. With God, all things are possible. He can do all things. And even to the point that you look at the woman, she had so much, her faith was so strong. And as Doug said, she knew her text. She knew he took us back to Malachi. There's healing in his wings. Mm. That she said, if I can just touch the corner of his garment, if I can just touch the tassel on his garment, she believed she'd be healed. I was thinking even about Jairus, who Jesus, you know, Jairus comes to Jesus immediately from this text. He's come back from Decapolis. He gets out of the boat. Jairus is there. My daughter's dying. Please come and heal her. Mm. Jesus immediately says, let's go. And everybody starts going. And then in the middle of going, this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years touches him. Power goes out of him. He stops. Now, if I'm Jairus, I'm like going, hey, Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, that's great, but can we get moving?
Yeah, she's healed. Let's move on.
I was just thinking that. I wonder how long that encounter took while Jairus was.
And what was going on in Jairus' heart.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can tell you what was going on in my heart is, come on, Jesus, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, think about that. If you really believe Jesus has that kind of power to heal your daughter, mm-hmm. or heal my son, mm-hmm. or heal my grandson, or whatever it is, he can do it anytime he wants.
Yep.
And
remember, I'm sorry to cut you off, in the story of Lazarus, he intentionally waited a couple days, mm-hmm. basically to let Lazarus die.
Yeah, he wanted some stank around that place.
You know,
sorry,
exactly right. I mean, but and what did they say when the sisters said to him, he would have lived if you had been here?
Yeah,
but of course, he did that intentionally.
Yeah,
so
so that's, I don't know, that's what it says about God. It's what it says about man is that God gives faith. The faith we have is a gift from God, and I do oftentimes look at this text. And many texts where I'm reminded, my faith is not like Jairus. My faith is not like this woman. Mm. You know, I want my faith to be stronger.
Yeah.
So how about you?
Yeah. Well, it's very similar in terms of what it teaches us about God, about his sovereignty and about his, I said it earlier, about his response to humility, his response to faith, that he promises that he will respond faithfully, that he will respond with grace and with mercy. What I said earlier about our desperation, that desperation brings people to Jesus, that idea of coming to the end of ourselves.
Yeah.
But I also made the note that people are in two camps. It talks about here the crowd, and then Jairus and the woman stand out from the crowd. And it made me think of, you know, Doug talked about this when he was talking about the parable of the sower and the different conditions of the hearts. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that the rocky soil represented perhaps the Jews who were curious but unprepared.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I thought about here, was that you have this huge crowd and most of them are just curious. Most of them want to see something amazing. Yeah. Most of them are there for the show, probably, mm-hmm. or maybe some free food if they heard about you know, the feeding of the 5,000. But there are those that stand out, the remnant. It's almost like the remnant that the Bible always talks about. And Jairus and the woman stand out because they understand their need.
Yeah.
And they have a desperation for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same today. I think there's a lot of people that are curious about Jesus, or who say that they quote unquote believe in him, or that they have a high regard for him. But there's far fewer that understand their need. And of course, we only understand our need because of the grace of God, like you said, because he gave us that understanding. Yeah. Yeah. And so our prayer needs to be, and when we understand that, I think it helps us as we do minister and as we do see the things unfolding in the world and we see what's going on with people. I know for me, I have to remind myself, well, wait a minute, I'd be in the same boat apart from God changing me. Yeah. And these people are just people that need Christ the same way I do. And they're not that their behavior or their rejection of Jesus is excusable, because we know it's not. The Bible says it's not. We're still responsible. But yet it's impossible for that to change without God intervening. Seeing it, that, and that goes back to your song, give me your eyes for just one moment so I can see that I was that way too.
Oh my goodness.
You know, without what God did for me. Yeah. So
Paul says, such were some of you.
Exactly.
That we were once in darkness. Yeah. And, you know, I think for me going forward as we move on, obviously, you know, I'm praying for faith. I'm praying for a deep faith that even in the midst of maybe things not going as I would like them to go, or I'm in those desperate spots, I'm in those places of desperation or despair, that I wouldn't look to my circumstances to be propped up or be corrected. While we may want that, we may even pray for that, we should pray for that, is that I find my rest and my hope and my peace in Christ, knowing he's sovereign. And that, you know, when I'm desperate, when I'm in despair, where do I turn? Do I turn to my network? Do I turn to my, you know, my resources that I have been given? Or do I turn to God? Do I turn to him and rely on him? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I said this earlier, but coming to that place of, there are going to be those times in life, like you said, where we are truly desperate because of things that are going on, but also kind of maintaining that posture, at least internally, that whether things are good or bad in earthly circumstances, to have the same posture toward Jesus of humility and an understanding of my need. And man, I slip away from that very often. It's very easy to do. But
you brought this up earlier in the broadcast, where Paul says, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And how often we're seeking in desperation or in despair, we're seeking something that only God can provide us. I love that quote by Piper, who says, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. And goodness, may I not seek to be satisfied in the things of this world, or everything being just as I want them to be.
Because
they won't be. We live in a fallen world.
And then, of course, the reminder to be humble. I'm very proud of my humility, by the way. I've probably used that line before. But thinking about Philippians 2, another familiar passage starting with verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So this idea that look to Jesus' example and count others more important than ourselves. And starting with our spouses, right? Yeah. That's, you know, Jesus laid down his life for the church. We're to do the same for our families day to day.
That goes to your point about humility.
You know, exactly.
To me, the greatest picture of humility is laying your life down. So,
well, we are at the end of our time and at the end of the week here on SWAT Radio. We really appreciate you joining us, Brad. Great to be back in here.
Great to have you back, man.
Good to be back. And now we can go, not that we're rushing off to catch up with the Masters, but I know we're going to check on that here and see what's going on. We hope you all have a great weekend and that you come back on Monday with Brad and Doug on SWAT Radio. WT.